Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with two of my friends and colleagues and just great people that are alive on the planet today that we're all excited about being with, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls. We're excited that you're on the planet, too.
I loved your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
I should talk to a therapist.
You definitely
need... I
should
go unload on somebody.
What's the question about that?
Whether I'm saved, because I'm just nuttier than a fruitcake.
Well, as Steve said, if being nutty can't equal being saved, he and I are in trouble as well, especially him.
That's the first really honest thing I think I've heard you say, and I'm not trying to be mean. That sounded honest.
And you work at listening to her.
Your mom is a marriage vulture, and she sits on your shoulder, and what you want her to become is a hummingbird. Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. I tell you, I have wisdom all around today with you two here.
Surround sound wisdom.
Oh, wow. I love that. You know, we were just talking the other day about three different types of people. There is the wise person, which I believe you guys are. There is the misguided person. You could call him a fool, I guess, but... But then there's the sick person who really isn't trying to be bad. They are bad. they don't know any better, or they've been so abused wounded. And wounded that they're really off track. And but I think what we try to deal with here really a lot isn't so much the sick person as the misguided person. Because oftentimes we don't ever get to talk to the sick person. They don't know that they need help. They're not seeking it. And things have to get really, really bad. I was thinking about Lindsay Lohan and her latest episode where she is caught, or they are accusing her of shoplifting. I mean, is that bad enough for her to finally really want to get help, that she is convicted of a felony?
Probably not.
You know, it's just so sad. But I would say that would be an example of sickness versus confused
and
person.
Interesting how society keeps her that way because they don't hold her accountable.
Right. So I don't know where you are, but I hope that you can rise to that place of wisdom. And that really is what the Bible offers us. I feel really good about my information source. You know, some people, maybe they memorize the encyclopedia, which gets outdated. You know, you could know every word, and next year you'd need to learn all this new stuff.
Over again.
But we're not ever having to relearn different verses. You know, the same verse applies. Romans 8:28, that you may not feel it at the moment, but God is working out everything to your own good. If you look back, you say, yeah, that was a horrible thing. And look how good it was.
And the Bible is so alive because we're reading the same words, but we see different things.
Yeah. That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit is there.
Yeah.
Grass is going to wither, the Bible says. Word of God, it is there forever.
It will not pass away.
So hopefully what we do here is based on biblical truth, biblical principles. And whenever something isn't, you know, we only get 1,000 emails saying, what were you talking about? And usually it was just a result of miscommunication, of course. But anyway.
It was static or something, and you didn't hear it right.
Yeah.
But here's a good thing to ask yourself. Am I misguided or am I sick? Because sickness is really tough to treat. But being misguided, you can humble yourself, go back to the Word, get involved with other people in connection and community. That's really what we believe is the most healing thing, is truth that transforms in connection and community. Three things we stand for: truth, connection, and transformation. And when the truth is presented in community, connecting us with others, that's where transformation occurs. That's what we've been believing here from the very beginning. And we even have a little book about that called Transformation. If you like it, you call us. We'll get that to you. The book we've been promoting this month is the book by Mylon and Kay, the brand new book, How We Love Our Kids. What is the imprint that we're putting on our kids? You can find out about it at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you just log in to newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask, we'll send you a free 100 days of prayer, our gift to you.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Doris, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, WFIL is the station. Hi, Doris. Welcome.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. How could we help you today?
Okay. I'm going to say it briefly as I can think of. I'm a parent of a 9-year-old daughter.
Okay.
And her father and I are not living together.
Okay.
I have full legal and physical custody of the child.
Okay. Why do you have full legal custody of the child?
Basically because her father never bothered to show up at the court to say anything about it.
Okay.
I got full legal and I got court custody because he didn't show up, and the judge actually asked me where. Okay. The bottom line is this: he's been paying me child support. Now he's been stopping and going and stopping and going. I take care of the child like 90% of the time. He picks her up on weekends and then he drops her off because I don't have a car.
Okay.
The problem is with this is I'm trying to pursue the child support, like cut him a break and all that in certain areas. Now he's abusing it. Now he wants me to drop the back child support.
Why are you giving him a break when you don't even have a car?
I don't know why.
Okay. Well, that doesn't seem like that's good for the child to me.
That's what I need to do. I need to change. And when I approach him on certain things like parenting issues, like getting her clothes or getting her haircut, it's like he gives me an argument. He's a very argumentative.
So he argues and he doesn't come through and you're trying to give him a break? I don't understand.
I guess I'm codependent. I don't.
Well, you're trying to be reasonable with somebody who's being unreasonable.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I try to, you know, understand. He does come pick her up. He does and drops her off. And he was doing that for a long period of time. I never denied him custody of the child. He's been picking her up every
You're messing things up for your daughter.
Okay. Can you explain how I'm messing things up with my daughter?
You're letting him off the hook just because he comes and picks her up or shows some interest or whatever or begs you to let him off the hook. The best thing for her is for you to be able to support her, take her where she needs to go, not make her feel like a second-class person to all the other kids at school. And the way you do that is you be there for her as a mother while he's supporting you raising her.
That's where I get into conflict with
him. And that's because you don't have really good, wise people around you telling you, hey, do this, or hey, don't put up with that.
Yeah, you're right. I'm doing this by myself.
Okay.
I'm in a very isolated, very alone.
So that's why you're listening to him. And his motivation sounds like it's about him not wanting to pay.
Yeah.
Yes, and getting off the hook as much as possible.
Right.
And when I say he's very selfish or controlling, he always, like, is very abrupt with me, very divisive, very avoidant. He's avoided male.
Okay, so what's the question for us then? What is your question?
I know
what can I do to turn this thing around?
Okay.
Not trying to turn him around, mm-hmm. because you're not going to get him to come to your viewpoint, but by you doing the things that you know are right for your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the visitation is separate from you pursuing getting him to pay what he's supposed to pay and take care of his end.
But to do that, you're going to have to get some people around you, Doris, that understand what's right and are supportive of you, that when you stand up for what you believe is right and then you start to waver, you call them and they reinforce the fact that you did the right thing. You've got to get into that kind of a context, because if you don't, mm-hmm. you're very, very vulnerable to his pressure.
Now, let me give you a potential reason why you do this, okay?
Okay.
If you don't have healthy women around you and healthy family members that say to you things like, oh, you're doing a great job raising this child, or, oh, I'm so appreciative of you, or things like that, then maybe the only time anybody says anything positive to you is when the husband, ex-husband, is let off the hook. He says, thank you. I'm so grateful to you. And so you may be doing it because it's the only time you ever get anything positive out of anybody is letting the man off the hook. But it's not sincere.
Yes, you're correct.
Okay.
I don't have any positive reinforcement.
Okay. So we got to help you to live a healthy life for your daughter. We've got to help you get the support that you need for your daughter. You're doing stuff selfishly for yourself to feel better, and it's hurting your daughter. Okay?
Okay.
I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to help you see.
No, I'm glad you said it to me that way. That actually motivates me to do otherwise.
Well, that's the way it's intended, is it? And you're responding in the right way. So for her sake, when he says, would you let me off the hook, you'd say, I'd love to. But for her sake, the best thing is for you to pay the back support, because I'd like to get my driver's license and I'd like to get a car where I can take her to her parties and things that are going to be coming up, and take her to the museum and places in our own car. So that's why I'm not going to let you off the hook.
Right.
And part of why he may want to get off the hook is that he likes it that you're so dependent on him.
Yeah.
Because he gets what he wants that way. And if you got a car and all that on your own, you wouldn't need him as much, and he knows that.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know, for some reason he resents paying the child support. Oh, that's not
well, because it's expensive. It's expensive.
Well, and because he's selfish and irresponsible.
Exactly.
Well, I know, but he portrays it like I want the child support, like, but if I spend it on getting a driver's license, well, that's not got nothing to do with her.
Yes, it does.
To do with you.
He's just manipulating you, and you need to quit having these conversations with him.
Yeah. Doris, he sounds like lots of spouses that are in a position where they're not the one that's actually doing the raising of the child.
No, he isn't.
Right. So the parent who isn't doing the raising is out of touch with what children really need. If he only has her 10% of the time, he's not doing any of the real parenting.
Right.
So he's looking at, he's just handing you money so you can have a good time. Well, no.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, do you get alimony, spousal support?
No.
Oh, were you guys married?
No, we weren't.
Okay, that's what I thought. So you get child support.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope and pray something we've said is helpful to you, and I'm going to send you a copy of Boundaries.
Okay.
You need boundaries with this man, okay?
Definitely.
Oh, definitely.
All right, and it's not for you, it's for your daughter, but it's also for you, too.
And Doris, And if there's any need for him to think well of you, or you've got to put that aside. Your daughter has to come first.
Well, the truth is that if she takes care of herself, ultimately he will feel better about her. He'll respect her.
Here's what I want your motivation to be. Of course, I want it to be that you serve God and you do the right thing. But I want you to say to yourself every day, I want my daughter to be proud of me when she's 20 years old.
Right.
Okay.
How I protected her.
How I protected, how I provided, how I worked through my own problems to meet her needs. I want her to be proud of me when she's 20.
Right.
Okay?
I want her to be proud of me. Okay.
Okay. God bless you. I'm glad you called. I'll send you Boundaries. Hope that'll be a blessing to you. And let's talk with Eva from Detroit, Michigan, WLQV. Hi, Eva. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm getting by today.
Did you see that Super Bowl ad about Detroit? And
yes.
Wasn't that a spectacular promotion for
yes,
your city?
Yes, it was. It made us feel, you know, much better.
Oh,
it
loved it.
It.
You know, usually you just see all the crummy stuff there and all, but that showed the heart of America, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Oh, well, I could go on and on. But you called for a reason. City. What's going on?
I did. I called you guys because tonight I am going to meet with my husband, who I've been separated from for about almost 2 months now. I put him out because I've caught him with a woman in our car. I've saw lots of porn on a computer. I've got his phone, and there's text messages with other women.
Oh, dear.
He's been going to strip bars. We've been married for almost 16 years.
Okay. So you've got a sex addict husband.
He, of course, says he's not, that he can't do anything.
Well, but sex addicts
every
don't.
Every addict says they're not an addict.
Yeah, right. But I want to tell you, he's certifiably a AAA-approved sex addict.
Just from what you described.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what sex addicts do. They're married, and they do all that stuff.
Was there any doubt for you, Eva?
Mm-mm, not really.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I just so, says that he can't physically do anything because we haven't had a relationship, an intimate relationship.
And that's part of the reason why.
7 months.
But that's part of the reason why, because he's gotten into all this other stuff.
You just don't do it for him when he's all involved in the other areas of infidelity and betrayal. Now, what's your question for us?
I'm going to tonight supposedly to look at having a separation plan or to work some things out with him, but you know, I'm not even sure if that even makes sense at this
point. Well, here's the thing. Is he interested in you?
Well, I can tell you, he'll call me if I don't call him. He'll come over here, bring me dinner, stuff like that. But to actually want to touch me, kiss me, if it's nothing but a hug, he'll hug me, but that's about it.
You know, he sounds like he's kind of treating you like mom.
Yeah, absolutely.
Helping mom be fed and all that.
Still a little boy inside.
Little boy. You know, to me, there are only three letters you need to know about this separation, and those letters are EMB, and they stand for Every Man's Battle. And I would be saying to him, I wouldn't say, hey, if you want me back or whatever. I would say to him, if you want to get your act together and you want to be the man that God wants you to be and that I know down inside you want to be, then you need to go to this Every Man's Battle workshop. You need to establish for yourself integrity and character. You don't have that. I wouldn't even make you the issue.
No.
Or sex.
Not you, not sex, not moving back in. It's all about him. Do you want to be the man? Now, if you can't respond to that, then anything that you would do, you see, would just have a temporary result for him to get something that he wants.
Right. It would be better to say, let me know when you're ready to talk about it.
And you need to resign.
And then we'll talk again.
You need to resign from being his mother. Don't let him bring you food so he can come over and hug and feel good because mom's making him feel
good. Right. He gets a nice little connection there and then goes off and does his other thing.
Doesn't feel as guilty.
Right.
See, that's kind of the same as a man coming over to his he separated from his wife and he has sex with her, you know, a man that's not a sex addict, but let's just say he's a gambling addict. He might come over and have sex with his wife, see, and then that makes him feel good about himself. Well, your husband can't do that. So what he does is he plays the little boy to his mama, and that makes him feel better.
You don't temporarily.
Temporarily. Mm-hmm. You don't want him to feel better temporarily. Okay?
I did buy the book, Every Man's Battle.
Good.
I handed it to him and told him, you know, that he needed to look at it. And I bought the book for myself for the wife. I read it.
Good.
And, of course, he just put it down. He just said, no, that ain't got nothing to do with it.
So a man like that, you do not,
of course not.
Deserve, nor should you be having dinner with a man like that. It is essentially emotionally and spiritually he's slapping you in the face, and you're saying, sure, bring dinner over. Let's have dinner.
See, what you need to say to him, Eva, basically what Steve's saying is, I don't want to see you again unless you're willing to deal with what's going wrong in you. And if you're willing to deal with that, then we can talk. But if you're not willing to deal with that or take that seriously, we really have nothing to talk about. We don't even need to see each other. Because every time he sees you, that's a reassurance to him that you're still there, you're still waiting, you're still patient. And he needs to be very much aware of his aloneness.
Right. It makes you feel better to have him around, but it's really not helping the situation.
Eva, I want you to go online and look up Celebrate Recovery and get involved in a codependency group. And get some friends out of that group and live a life other than just waiting for him to get his act together.
Or a codependent of sex addicts group, yeah. COSA.
COSA. All right. Glad you called.
Okay, and you said just go on your website?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or online?
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Milan Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And as most of you know, we're going to Israel. And I'd like to play a clip from Israel of me right there on the in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was. And in this clip, you're going to see some 2,000-year-old olive trees that were there, more than 2,000 years, certified, and those trees were there when Jesus was in the garden. Now, what was great about this trip, and this is the way it's going to be on our trip, we're going to get to do some things that are special, very special, along with Stephen Curtis Chapman and John Townsend and Milan Yurkovich and Sherry Denham. Everybody was outside. We were in the actual garden. And so here we are in Israel at the Garden of Gethsemane.
This has been an amazing day. We're the guests of the Ministry of Tourism here in Israel. We were on the Mount of Olives. We were in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was amazing, all the people walking around the garden. And there were four people. I'm traveling with Larry and Joe Sonnenberg and Joe Franklin. There were four people that were allowed inside that garden where the olive trees, 2,000 years old, they were there when Jesus was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. We went through these markets that were amazing. We saw the tomb where Jesus was buried. We saw the hill where he was crucified. We saw where they prepared his body. We are so grateful to be here. Already, this has been one amazing trip. And I hope that you'll come and experience the same new life we're experiencing for our trip in June 2011.
All right. Well, I hope you'll join us. You can find out about it at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. When you go online at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com, if you ask for it or click on it, you can get a free book called 100 Days of Prayer. It's a great little book. It's a great gift. It's a beautiful cover, and you'll love these devotionals. I have a lot of people responding to these devotionals, 100 Days of Prayer. I hope you'll get that. It's free, our gift to you, just calling us or going online. And right now I want to go to Roy from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, Roy. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
I appreciate your ministry, by the way. I've supported you guys for a number of years, and I probably shouldn't, but...
Why not? Why not, Roy?
Because of my financial crisis.
Oh, dear.
But I really feel strongly about what you guys do, and I just knew that despite I had to help because I know you guys are being challenged lately. And
we have been.
A lot of people are getting a lot of help, and I just really appreciate what you're doing for not only
well,
myself,
you.
But for others.
Thank you. How could we help you today?
Good luck, first of all.
because, we're going to need it, huh?
You're going to need it. You guys are great. I'm amazed at your wisdom, your godly counsel and all that. But I'm really fell into a crisis here today. And you'll have to excuse me. I'm a typical artist, so I'm a little bit of a rambler.
Okay.
I've got all kinds of, quirks here, very perfectionistic and so on. But I have a very unhealthy level of needing to please others, including my young children, my wife, my ex-wife. I've been grieving a lot of losses lately. I'm not coping very well with what I think is a chronic case of codependency, of course. But I've been a very, I've been a believer all my life, pretty much. And a pastor kid, so you know where the performance-drivenness will be coming from.
Yeah.
But live with a lot of guilt. I have wonderful Christian parents. My dad died here. He was my spiritual counselor for many years. I loved him dearly, and I lost him a year and a half ago.
Sorry.
But I'm blessed to have a great godly parents, and my ex-wife and her parents were great godly people, and I was very, very close to that family, just have lost a lot in that. So anyway, there's a lot of things here. I've been diagnosed bipolar. I went through depression and in the process lost my marriage of 24 years here.
Right.
I have four wonderful kids. My oldest son is very angry with me for reasons I don't even completely understand. And I don't even know why I'm divorced today.
You don't know why you're divorced?
I'm not really quite sure why I'm divorced, but she gave me, of course, her reasons, starting with emotional abandoning her, and then that this marriage has been all about me. So whether it's a legal term she's after or whatever, I've been faithful to her all these years, and I've loved her. She's been
Roy,
my best friend.
Yes? Can I just ask you, said you were diagnosed bipolar. Is that bipolar 1 or bipolar 2? Like, do you have manic
bipolar?
Episodes?
No, I don't have manic episodes.
Okay.
I'm bipolar too. And,
so you get depressed and agitated?
I've always had, given my artist background, whatever, I've always been a moody, up and down kind of person, but not very extreme. I think that's kind of due to my Christian faith and all that, but I have struggled the last few years and where... I guess I didn't realize it, but I was losing my wife emotionally, and I didn't see it.
Yeah.
And being an intuitive person, as an artist, we artists are, I really, I'm in it in the thick of things in my marriage, no matter what.
You can see we're going to go to a break. Can you ask a question? We can talk about it at the break to help you better?
Sure. I guess my question is, again, my chronic need for pleasing others, and how can I stand stronger for myself and not have to please others?
All right. We'll give you some help with that right after this. You are listening to New Life Live or watching New Life Live, one or the other. We love getting to do this. Thanks to all of you who support us. If you want to support us, you can go to newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. When we come back, we'll be talking more with Roy. And then I'll tell you about some of the things coming up that could literally change your life forever, could help you live the life that God has called you to live. That's a pretty neat feeling, living the life God called you to live. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis, listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're talking with Roy, and Roy wants to know, why is it that I'm such a people pleaser? And I think that Dr. Stoop and Dr. Hubbard are going to help you with that.
Well,
I just add one thing, guys,
sure.
To that that may help a little bit. I foolishly, I don't know, foolishly weaned myself off my meds, and they were working for me pretty well, I think. I just never felt confident that I was truly bipolar, and I guess maybe that's more an ego pride thing, I guess, maybe. But
okay, so you did
anyway.
A research project. When are you getting back on the meds?
did it work?
What were you taking?
Well, the reason I did this is because I knew I'd have to be off the meds because I was going through insurance plans for my wife when she divorced
okay.
me. When it was finalized in October, so I didn't have insurance. I couldn't afford it. And so I was kind of planning to see if I couldn't afford paying for it myself, that I was going to try to just wean very slowly. It took me about 3 months, but I did go down. I kind of planned it way in advance so that
So what did you discover?
Well, I don't know. I really don't know, although I am very emotional, but I don't know. There's so many losses that I'm grieving right now in my
mm-hmm.
life that I don't know if it's my bipolar or if it's spiritual. If it, you know, I love the Lord with all my heart, but I know that I've put him second, third in my life.
Well,
excuse me.
That's okay.
I have adored my wife, and I clearly idolized her and the children, and you know, that's what I lived for. And
but you,
know,
you just
God
didn't
really,
you just didn't know how to connect with them.
I definitely felt I connected with them. I really do. I was there always for them in every way. I felt I was.
But they don't think so. You have an angry 24-year-old, and your wife
yeah.
divorced you. So you've got to kind of get away from. Hey, I did all.
You know, the one thing with people pleasing is we please our way right into being a non-person.
Mm.
And so here you had this upbringing as a pastor's kid, where you had to perform and project a certain image, right?
Yep,
you know,
yep.
You're artistic. You're probably good at projecting that image, what it looked like. But on the inside, something was lacking. You know, and you get into that performance mode, and so then you need that affirmation repeatedly to let you know you're okay.
Very badly, yes.
Right.
And I'm 53 years old.
Yeah.
I don't fall on, I'll fall off your chair now, but I'm 53 years old. I haven't grown up.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of us on understanding.
A lot of us artistic type have a hard time growing up. It's just part of the deal.
But it's also part of the people-pleasing thing.
Yes.
Because I've never really accepted for me. And if you're an art, you know, the artistic, you kind of march to a different drummer than maybe the rest of the family, too. So it's like there's all that struggle. And somewhere along the way, you became a caretaker for your family, you know, your parents, in terms of having to please them and having to look good on their behalf. And it's a pattern that you've just, you know, you've never gotten out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing in my church. I mean, I'm a singer. I'm a vocalist, and I've been singing in front of 1,500 people for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I found when I stepped down, when there was a breakup in a group I was part of, and I couldn't get it back together again. And I took a nosedive, and I realized the reason for that was because if I can't stand up in the stage, people can't love me.
Wow.
And that perpetuates.
And, all right. So how
I've learned, how I need to minister off that stage more.
How can we help, Roy?
I
want you to. So, we want to give you some help, Roy.
Well, I want to know who in your life loves you for you, and accepts you for you today.
Yeah, J.J. Heller. Listen to that song. I don't know.
Okay.
That's
where you got to start.
My mom,
let's give him some things that could help him.
That's where you got to start, and you got to, you know, you got to find a situation, you know, kind of a context where people accept you and just care about you for you, and not because of how you perform. And probably a codependency group at Celebrate Recovery would be a place to begin.
Could we say, given the mood that he's in right now, that getting back on the meds would be a huge priority?
This is the thing. Yeah. The losses are real. Yes, you're grieving, but meds can help you through that transition, not to take away those feelings. But otherwise, the depression takes you down where you're just stuck in all that sea of emotion, and there isn't any moving forward.
And what I would do, Roy, I don't know what you took. You know, you probably took something for the bipolar and something for the depression. I would go back just on the depressive stuff.
Yeah, an antidepressant.
If you're truly bipolar.
Well, they gave me a mood stabilizer, but I wondered about that.
Depakote or Neurontin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait on that and see, because one of the ways you treat bipolar is with the antidepressant, and if it stops working after 3, 4, 6 months, then you probably need that stabilizer. If it doesn't stop working, then you probably don't need that stabilizer. So I would go in a kind of a lockstep kind of a thing, but check with your doctor to make sure that that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I would get back on it. That's like putting a cast on a broken leg. You say, well, I can manage it without the cast, but you can manage it a lot better with the cast. And think of it that way.
The guilt is constantly there. Again, and I know it's linked to my codependency.
Okay, number one, medication. Number two, codependency
group. Context group where people are going to accept you for who you are, not for what you do.
Third thing, big thing, you need to get in a small group with a couple other guys at least two other men. If I were you, I think one of the greatest things you could do is to go to a church that has home groups, cell groups, whatever they call them, growth groups, and where they have couples and single people in the same group, different varieties, and get in one of those groups, because this is how you will grow yourself up at 53.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By going to codependency, the men's group, the growth group, getting back on the medication, you'll be a different person in a year. If somehow I could force you to do those things within a year, you would really see life from a different perspective.
Now, how do I know, though, whether I am bipolar, maybe I really do need to
just take the
antidepressant, and if you are really bipolar, eventually the antidepressant won't work. That's why you need the mood stabilizer then to stabilize. Because antidepressants by themselves, for somebody who is truly bipolar, will work for a while, but then they don't work. And that's one of the ways they diagnose it. So you test it out that way. and see what happens along the way. Give it 4 to 6 months to see what happens.
Email and write that 24-year-old and apologize and try to reconnect with the son that's angry with you. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program. Right now I want to talk with Stephen from Donners, Illinois, W-Y-L-L. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
I talked to y'all about a year and a half ago, I think, about my daughter and my grandson.
Yes.
I've had him once or more a week for 10 years. I keep him overnight, take him through stuff.
Wonderful.
And it's an hour to get to their place and back, and where they live, there's nothing to do, so we always got to come to my place, which is fine.
Yeah.
She finally got hooked up with a guy who moved her and the kids in, and he was telling the boys how he's going to adopt them and be their dad. I love the guy. I thought it was great. It's all I ever wanted for her. But he, I guess, was intimidated by me being around. It turned out he was a very strange guy. They never did get married.
Right.
But he said, at his behest, she started keeping the boy from me. Mm. He has no father. She's got another. I got another grandson, but he does have a father this season.
Your daughter is keeping your son from you.
Your grandson from you.
I'm sorry, your grandson. And
you,
yeah.
She was. That was when I called you back then, and you know, you told me, boy, what you got there is a hostage situation.
What's going on now?
Well, I ended up taking her to court, and Illinois has no grandparents' rights, but she wrote so many lies down. She didn't want to face a judge in open court, so she negotiated with me with a mediator.
Good for you.
So I've got access. I got him one weekend a month. He's getting older. He's almost 12.
Mm-hmm.
And we got an enormous bond, And the spite and vitriol, I mean, she just hates me, and she's nuts. Her and her mother are both nuts. They've both been in the psych unit. I know you guys don't like those terms. Now she's getting ready to hatch her third child without a dad.
Oh my.
And the older one's getting angry. You know, I mean, they live in abject squalor and poverty.
Yeah.
And that hurts his little heart.
Well,
and,
we're about to go to a break. What's the question for us so we can talk about it at the break?
He's at the age where I'm having to feel like I got to start to share some stuff with him, you know, explain him what's going on. Like, they're telling him he's got an anger problem. He doesn't have an anger problem. He's got a bad life, and he acts out.
That's something you can tell him. Mm-hmm. You can tell him that, hey, you have a crummy situation. Now, that's not speaking personally against your daughter, but you can say you're in a crummy, horrible situation. And anyone...
And you're simply agreeing with what he knows.
Yeah, exactly. You're agreeing with what he knows. We'll give you some more help right after this, okay? 1-800-229-3000. If you want to join us on the program, we'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right. We're back. We're talking with Stephen, who seems to be the most healthy, or the healthiest of all, around his 12-year-old grandson. And so what are you planning on doing, Stephen?
Well, there's recently, I'm going to continue to see him, and I'm trying to, she's kind of once in a while letting up and letting him see me a little more often.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just going with that. I mean, I kiss her butt, man. I fix her place up, but, you know, I think she poisoned me once. I really do.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is your daughter.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah. They're bad. I mean, the family that her mother came from. Anyway.
They just hate men.
The one other real question, I said he didn't have a dad. What I meant was his dad's floating around out west, but he only saw the boy once when he was two.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a number of years, the government tracked him down for child support and hit his paycheck. And
wow.
So he went underground for the next 6 years, and he stays underground, making a daily effort to work without being tracked.
Now,
so he doesn't have support.
Okay. You're healthy. They're not. What's the question for us?
The question here on that one is, now that she's pregnant with a third kid, she's realized she's going to need some help, like get rid of the older boy, Nico, my grandson.
Mm-hmm.
She dug up this guy's deadbeat dad.
Mm-hmm.
And had him come over. And the boys always wanted to see his dad. That's a natural thing.
Okay.
Even though he's a total deadbeat.
Okay, what's the question for us, though?
She hooked him up. She hooked those two up, and the guy still won't give her time. And now she's going to be sending him off there during the summertime.
No.
And that's,
No, he's not going to do that. She's not going to do that. You're not going to let him do that. You're not going to let her do that.
I don't have any legal legs. That's my question.
But
I want to tell my grandson, it's like, buddy, I'm glad you're happy with seeing your dad, but, you know, and I got my grandson to know Christ a little, I think, but they kind of blew that out of the water when the guy that was going to be his dad died of a drug overdose.
Okay. How far does the deadbeat live from you?
Luckily, far enough that I can't get my hands on him. He's in Arizona, I think.
Uh-huh.
Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
But he came out here all happy, you know, all happy to have his kids. She hasn't seen this guy in 8 or 10 years.
I think you need to put something into his life. I think you need to try to reach out to the deadbeat dad. And try to help him, not money-wise, but just try to help him with some ideas and concepts about the boy he doesn't know. That would be one thing. Jill, what are you thinking?
Well, I think you need to be talking to your grandson, and instead of thinking about what you need to tell him, drawing him out. How does he feel about all this? How does he feel?
He talks openly with me, and he thinks it's great that he's seeing his dad. He knows the wrong side of it. Like, why, I've said before to him, well, you know, this guy has never supported you or come around.
Okay.
You know, it's like, almost like, why do you want to see him? But I don't want to hurt him. You know, I told him, I'm glad you're happy that you're seeing him.
Does it hurt you that he wants to see him? Because you've really been the fill-in dad.
You know, I've thought about that a little bit, and no, it doesn't, because it's just he's such a beautiful little guy. He wants to know his dad.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're helping him look at all sides of it, you know, the good things, and he's excited. But then instead of you telling him, but he did this, this, and this, do you have any fears or concerns? You know, really talk about it from all sides, because that's something he can't do anywhere else.
Well, and the other thing I would do too, Stephen, is I'd say, you know, if it doesn't work out, you call me and I'll come and get you.
Right. You're his backup
and
plan
he's
always.
Getting to be an age where he can kind of decide where he wants to live. At least in our state he would. I don't know about your state. And he needs to know that and just say, you know,
really?
you have a voice in this, because you're getting to be old enough now where, you know, with the
but
way the family.
He does want to live with me. He's voiced that several times.
Well, I would check with a family law person and see what it is in your state, because I know out here when they hit 12, 13, the judge brings them in the chamber and says, where do you want to live? And that's pretty much what the judge decides.
And even legally, there might be certain laws in place about where they're supposed to be, but a kid can decide not to do that. So they can make their own decision. Okay, now you've said
the magic words here. He wants to live with you. Would you be willing for him to live with you?
Oh yeah.
Well, I think that
I'd pursue that.
I would.
Well, and start with some of the summer. Have him come and stay with you part of the summer too.
Right.
Well, that's all up to her, and he needs to voice that as an offensive weapon.
That may not all be up to her.
I think you need to have a heart to heart with him, and say, you've been wanting to live with me for quite some time, and I got to tell you, I want you to. Now that you're 12, you're able to make a good decision like that, and so.
Well, check with a family law attorney first.
And just be sure that he still does want to live with you. And then you go to an attorney and you ask, here I've got a 12-year-old who wants to live with me and I want him to. And look, here's the squalor and here's the deadbeat and how can we make this happen? And he may know a judge that's very, very understanding and really gets this whole grandparent thing.
Yeah, the judge that we're going to see was that way. More and more, as the attorney tells me, this is grandparents are having an ever-increasing role in raising their grandchildren because the generation we spawned is two things, Stephen.
Two things, Stephen. We're out of time, and I wish more grandsons had granddads like you.
Yes.
And I would love you to call us that third time and tell us how it went, how it goes. And I'm praying that since you are the man you are, that you get to raise this boy. Mm-hmm. God bless you. And
thank you.
You call us back. You know, I tell you, we've been together 3 hours today, and there are two different situations, where the grandparents can save a child's life. And you know, I know you might have been planning on retirement and golf and all of that, but this may be, God teeing you up to do this far greater thing.
Yeah.
That's right.
What you couldn't do for your own child, you could do for your grandkid.
Well, I'm going to send him raising great kids, and I hope that'll be a blessing to him. We're so glad you joined us today. We've been asking people, if you would, to support this ministry by buying one day of radio time on your local station, or perhaps maybe you could even buy a week of radio time or a month. And you see if you're watching us on television, it's $110 a day. That's our average price. 1 week is $550, and 1 month is $2,420. That's the average cost to be on a station.
To be on one station
in your area. And so please, if you possibly can, 1 day, 5 days, 1 month. You really came through in January and February. And so if you just keep it up in March, it would really be a great blessing. Now, if you support us with a gift of $50 or more, we will send you either the Life Recovery Bible or Every Man's Bible. Just ask which one you want. If you're a man or you know have a man in your life, this Every Man's Bible is a great gift. But if you have some people that want to grow and mature, maybe they even want a recovery program, well, you cannot beat the Life Recovery Bible. So please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, hey, I want to be part of the giving, supportive family. We have all these great things. I told you about our trip to Israel coming up, and then also our marriage weekend in May in Washington, D.C. It's going to be a great time. Dave, what's one thing you're going to cover during that weekend?
We're going to talk about the kinds of things that break the connection. I know Myla and Kay are going to talk about connection. We're going to talk about what we do to break the connection without knowing it. And then how do we repair that when that's happened?
Well,
so we got some real practical things.
It's going to be great.
Having heard both their material, I'll tell you, it is life-changing stuff, marriage-changing. You won't want to miss it, and you can find out more about it on the website. We are grateful to you. We're thankful that we get to do this. We pray for you. We were praying for you this morning during our devotional time. And I want to be sure that you know that if you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call. My thanks to Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and to all of you that listen and support. We love you and hope that we'll see you here again next time on New Life Live. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
to make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.